Hello, everyone. God richly bless you. I'm Richard Roberts, coming to you from Tulsa, Oklahoma, here in the United States, and I am very, very pleased to be a part of this conference. Pastor Andrew and Yemi, God bless you. I have known you both for so many years, and thank God for you, for your ministry, for your family, for all that you're doing for the kingdom of God, not only in London, but around the world. And I praise God for this church. And those of you who've been members a long time know that I have preached in this church many, many times in person. And I'm glad to be doing it by video today, and especially to be a part of this conference. When Pastor Andrew contacted me a few weeks ago about this video, I began to pray and to seek the Lord and what I should minister on. And I thought I should begin by giving you a little idea of what's going on in my life right now. Before my father, Oral Roberts, went home to be with the Lord back in 2009, he prophesied over me. He said, "Son, when you get into your late 60s, your crusade days will come to an end. And you will become a minister to ministers. And you will teach pastors around the world primarily on healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith." Well, my dad went on home to be with the Lord and also included a Bible school online, which we have done since then too. My dad went on home to be with the Lord, and time passed, and I was still conducting crusades all over the earth. As a matter of fact, I've conducted crusades for some 40 years around the world. And one morning, about six or seven years ago, I was awakened early to pray, and I was sitting on the edge of my bed when, clear as a bell, I heard the Lord say, "Your crusade days are now officially over." Well, I was shocked. I'd forgotten the prophetic word my dad had given me back in 2009. The Lord said, "From now on, you're going to minister to ministers." And he reminded me of the prophetic word that my father gave over me back those many years ago. And he said, "Your crusades are over. Now I want you to focus in on underdeveloped nations' pastors. And I want you to teach them on healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith. And I want you to focus in on 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Now, that scripture encompasses every area of your life and mine. And I began praying and pondering what God said. And I began getting invitations from pastors all over the world just in the past 6 months alone. I have ministered to more than 22,000 pastors in different nations, not only in person, but electronically through Zoom, like I'm doing today on this video. In fact, I just recently had a conference in Pakistan with 15,000 pastors. It was absolutely amazing, and the results were just like I was there in person. And God has been moving me along these lines, and I thought today, in line with Pastor Andrew and our discussion the other day, that I should take a little time and talk about miracles, talk about the supernatural, talk about the Holy Spirit in your life and in mine, and talk about the principles of sowing and reaping, because there is an end time harvest of finances coming to those who sow. Praise God. So let me just take a few moments today and begin. And let me repeat 3 John 2. If you have your Bibles today, check that scripture out. Beloved, that's how God feels about you. Beloved, you are His beloved. Make no mistake about it. You are God's beloved. Beloved, I wish above all things, not most things, not almost everything, I wish above all things that you prosper, that you thrive. God wants you to prosper and be in health. Well, that's healing. Even as your soul prospers. That's your mind, your will, and emotions. In other words, God wants you well in every area of your life, from the crown of your head even unto the soles of your feet. He wants you well in your spirit, in your mind, in your body, in your family, in your finances, in your relationships, in your ministry, in your job, in your business, in your home, in your marriage. You just name any area of your life, God wants you well. Now let's begin with healing. And this is along the lines that I've been ministering to pastors around the world. It's been absolutely amazing what God has been doing. In Exodus 15:26, the Bible says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Make no mistake about it, God is the source of your healing. He's the source of your life. "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Thank God for doctors. Thank God for good diet, good climate, good exercise. Thank God for medicines. Thank God for good health habits. We thank the person who prays. We thank the person who treats. We thank the person who medicates. But we give the glory to God. God is the source of all healing. I believe in the healing power of God. And Jesus came as a healer. In Acts 10:38, Peter speaks of Jesus, saying that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So we learn in that scripture that sickness is not your friend. Sickness is the oppression of the devil. It is something that's coming against you. Now, we're coming out of a worldwide pandemic where we've seen hundreds of thousands of people and even millions killed and die as a result of COVID and its offsprings. But in the authority of Jesus' name, we have the power through faith in His name to ward off those things. We have the power. In Philippians, the Bible tells us that God has given Jesus a name which is above every name named in heaven and earth. Every name. You name any name, and the name of Jesus is higher. You say, "Well, did you ever get COVID?" I tested positive twice, but I never had any symptoms. Because I prayed, I took authority over it. The test said positive, but my body said negative. I just said no. I had no symptoms. I tested positive. All I got out of it was a 4 or 5 day vacation. But I took the authority that Jesus gave me when He gave me His name. On the last night of His earthly life, He gathered His disciples together in the book of John. And He said to them, "Before now, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive so that your joy may be full." Never before had they used the name of Jesus. But Jesus, that night, gave them the authority to use His name. And you and I are His modern-day disciples. The Bible says also in the book of John, if you and I continue in His Word, then we are His disciples. So we have just as much right to the use of the name of Jesus as Peter did, as James did, as John did, as Philip did, as Andrew did, as the Apostle Paul did. Those men aren't here. You and I are here. We are His modern-day disciples. So let that get into your spirit today. It's God's will for you to be well. He wants you healed, whole, and well. He gets no glory whatsoever out of any sickness, no matter what name it has. All right, then in Matthew 14:14, the Bible says that Jesus went forth. He saw a great multitude of people. He had compassion upon them. And He healed their sick. Now that's a glimpse. That's a picture. That's a forecast of what Jesus wants to do in your life. Jesus is coming toward you. He wants you well in every area of your life. And you have the authority by the power in Jesus' name and by your faith, which you were born with, to say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive this healing miracle into my life." You have power. Jesus took the stripes on His back for your healing. The work has been done. Now you and I have to appropriate it. Well, how do we appropriate it? We call that which is not into our lives as though it is. We say, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, you take your hands off of me. I belong to God. I don't belong to you. You don't deserve my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I belong to God. And I take my authority in Jesus' name. And I command sickness. I command disease. I command fear. I command doubt. Come out in the name of Jesus." That's what you do. And that's how you do it. And I praise God for that. I believe in healing. In the past, a few years, we've seen more than 100,000 healing testimonies which have come into our office. Healings of all types and descriptions. And we're seeing a lot of cancer healings too. Healings from heart problems, healings from people who've been deaf and people who've had trouble with their vision and trouble with other organs in their body, heart problems and blood pressure and blood sugar, all kinds of miracles. Because Jesus is a healing Jesus. He came to take off you what the devil put on, to take out of you what the devil put in, and to put back in you what the devil took out, and to put back on you what the devil took off. God is a good God. He's for you. He's your healer. He's your source. And he wants you well in every area of your life. Now, that's dealing with your physical body. Now let's deal with the Holy Spirit who is in you. When you gave your heart to Christ, no matter how many years ago it was or if it was lately, when you gave your heart to Christ, the Holy Spirit came in and took up residence inside of you. The Bible says so. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and bears witness that you are a child of God. So, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to go get him. You've got him. He is inside of you. The book of Romans tells us that. Well, you say, Richard, if the Holy Spirit is in me, what's he doing? Well, let me tell you what he's doing. He's interceding. And what is intercession? Prayer. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. The Holy Spirit is in you and he's praying much prayer, a powerful prayer. He's interceding. He's praying 7 days a week in a straight line, direct prayer to the Heavenly Father. And you and I, by an act of our will, can reach down into the depths of our being and tap in or join in to the Holy Spirit's prayer, and we can pray in tongues exactly like the Apostle Paul taught us. Now, let me share a scripture with you. Over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and beginning at verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this, "He," or she, "he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." Now, we know that when we pray in tongues, we feel edified. We feel better. We feel built up. But we don't have information to go along with it. Praying in tongues is not just an experience so that we can feel good. Then verse 5 says, "I wish," or "I would," he said, "I would," or "I wish, that all of you spoke in tongues." So therefore, we know that it's God's will. Now, there is a lot of confusion about praying in tongues in Christianity today, and much of it has been caused by those of us who have had bad terminology. We Pentecostals and Charismatics have not known how to explain the experience that we've had, and we've given many of the evangelicals the idea that we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul outlined those over several chapters back in 1 Corinthians 12 when he talked about the diversities of gifts, and those are sovereign gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the working of miracles, the discerning of spirits. All those nine gifts are sovereign. I'm not talking about those. And neither is Paul here. Now let's follow on. I'm talking about a daily devotional prayer language that every born-again believer can pray in. Let's look over now at let's go over to verse 13. Wherefore, now I'm in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians and verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. You mean, Richard, I can pray in tongues and I can interpret my prayer? Yes. Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. Look what the Apostle Paul said. Wherefore, let him who speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. In other words, get information. Now, Paul goes personal here in verse 14. This is his personal experience, and this is how you can know he's not talking about the gift of tongues. He's talking about your daily devotional prayer language. Verse 14, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now, that's what I was talking about a moment ago. When you pray in tongues, you feel better, you're built up, but you don't have information. And you got to have information. Prayer is not just about feeling good. Prayer is about getting information so you know what to do, so you know where to go, so you know what to say and what to do when you get there. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15, what is it then? Or in other words, what will I do? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Paul taught us that we can pray in tongues, and we can tap in or join into the Holy Spirit's prayer, who knows the mind and will of the Father, who knows what's deep down on the inside of you for which you don't have any words to express. He knows how to get all that up and take it up to the Father. And then when you stop after praying in tongues and pray in your own language, God can give you ideas, insights, concepts, new and innovative ways of doing things, and you get information and you learn how to live. I've been sharing this with pastors all over the world. I've got to tell you one experience I just had. We were in Pakistan, and there was a Presbyterian pastor who came to the conference. He said he had taught against the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues his entire ministry. Did not believe it was for today, said it was for the Bible days, not for today. I was teaching like this to those thousands of pastors. He was sitting there. And all of a sudden, as I began to pray in tongues out loud during the service, he broke into tongues. He was so shocked, he didn't know what to do. He later said, I went home. I went into my prayer room. I shut the door. And once again, I began to speak in tongues. He said, my wife and my son heard me, and they came into the room. Both of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit, began speaking in tongues and interpreting back. On the Sunday following, he went to his church and he gave the testimony to his congregation. Half of his church were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the spot. That night, two of his elders came to his home and said, Pastor, you're preaching heresy. We're going to turn you into the headquarters. We don't believe this. And they left. And the pastor got concerned. He began to pray in tongues. And then he began to pray in his own language. And God said through the interpretation, don't worry about the elders. I'll take care of it. The next day, the elders came back to his home, knocked on the door and said, Pastor, we're so sorry. Please forgive us. We want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit too. And they both were. Things like this are happening all over the world. The Holy Spirit is your secret weapon. The world cannot speak in tongues and interpret back. No, it's reserved only for you and me and people like us who believe in Jesus. So, number one, God is a healer. Number two, you have a reason to live because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, number three, you have needs in your life. You have financial needs. You have needs in your family. You have needs in your business, in your job, in your ministry. You've got to pay your bills. Peter faced the same situation. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus was coming to preach in that area where Peter had been fishing. And Peter had fished all night. He was now sitting on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, washing and mending his fishing nets. When Jesus walked up to him and saw his empty boat and saw Peter and walked up to Peter and said, would you lend me your boat? Peter looked up, I can imagine, and must have said something like, what do you want my boat for? You know, the Bible is a synopsis. There had to be other things said besides that. He must have said something like, what do you want my boat for? And Jesus must have replied something like, well, I need it to preach from. If you let me stand in it and push me out a little bit from the shore, I'll teach all these people. I'll bring miracles. I'll bring healings. Peter said, okay. I'm not sure if Peter really understood what Jesus was saying. I believe Jesus was saying, give me something to work with. Put something in my hand so that I can use it for my own glory and bless the people, and then I'll give it back to you in a different condition that you gave it to me. He was showing Peter how to plant a seed and how to believe that God would somehow open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much so there wouldn't be enough room to receive it. So Peter loaned his boat to Jesus. And sure enough, Peter pushed him out a little bit from the shore. And Jesus taught the people and preached and no doubt did miracles. Because wherever Jesus went, there were miracles. And when it was over, Jesus walked back to Peter and said, Now that you've loaned me your boat, now that you've planted a seed, now that you've put something in my hand I can work with, now, Peter, launch out into the deep waters and let down your nets for a catch. Peter looked up and said, wow, Master, we fished all night. In other words, we kept all the rules. In those days, they didn't fish during the day, they fished at night. Because the waters of the Sea of Galilee are crystal clear. I know, I've been there. I've been swimming in those waters before, several times. The waters are clear, and if you throw the net over in broad daylight, the fish see the net and they swim the other way. We fished all night. We caught nothing. Now you're telling me to fish in broad daylight. You know, God just may tell you to do something that you don't understand. He just may tell you to do something that you can't comprehend in your mind. But listen, friend, be obedient. I'm talking about getting your needs met. I'm talking about the miraculous supernatural power of God, which you and I must have on a daily basis. I don't need it once a week. I don't need it once or twice a month. I need it every day. So, launch out into the deep, Peter. Let down your nets for a catch. Now, notice Jesus said, launch out into the deep. This is where a lot of Christians have a problem. In those days, they didn't fish in the deep water. And the reason is because the Sea of Galilee is 200 feet below sea level. And it is subject to violent storms almost without notice. And their little boats were not strong enough to withstand those winds and waves. Those boats could be capsized and they could drown. So they fished along the shore. The problem is, throwing their nets along the shore meant they were only going to catch the small fish. The big fish were out in the deep waters. And Jesus was interested in Peter getting a net-breaking, boat-sinking load of miracles. Launch out into the deep waters, Peter. Launch out into the deep. That's where the big miracles are. Peter said, Master, I don't know, but because you say so, and that's where you've got to come to, because you say so, I will take a risk. You have to stick your neck out. It is said that a turtle doesn't get very far until he sticks his neck out. You got to stick your neck out. Peter, stick your neck out. Launch out into the deep waters. I'll show you when to let down your nets. Now notice, Jesus said, let down your nets. Plural. Peter said, Master, even though we fished all night, taken nothing, I'll do what you say. I will let down the net. You can read it in the Bible. Jesus said nets. Peter said net. He didn't fully obey. And that's where many Christians are today. They want to do a halfway job on what God said. But the Lord said to him, launch out and let down your nets. I don't know which net Peter used. Maybe it was his oldest net. Maybe it was one that he didn't intend on washing and mending. Maybe it had big holes in it. I don't know. Doesn't say. All I know is when they got out in the deep water and when Jesus commanded the fish to hit the net broke. And they began hauling fish in and fish were swimming through the net and Peter looking at dollar signs and pound signs going through the net. Oh, there's a big one. Oh, he's gone. There's a bigger one. Oh, he's gone. Oh, how I imagine Peter must have wished that he had fully obeyed and brought all of his nets. Well, his fishing buddies, his partners in his fishing business, must also have heard the message that Jesus preached because they were standing by in their ships and the Bible said they came over and they let down their nets. They got the message and their nets were full. Peter, so embarrassed and humiliated that he had not fully obeyed the Son of God, that he fell on his knees and he repented. He said, Lord, depart from me. I messed up. I'm a sinful man. Jesus said, no, Peter, you get up. I'll make you a fisher of men. And that's when Peter left the boats and left the fishing and began to follow Jesus. And it was Peter who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank God for Peter. The next time Peter went fishing, he went without any bait on his hook. He went down to the sea and cast in a hook, the Bible says. No bait. And he caught a fish that had money in its mouth. Peter learned how to sow. Now, during this conference, you're going to have opportunities to sow. And when you sow, let down your nets for a catch. Don't say, I won't miss this. I'll just give it to God. God is not interested in your secondhand offering. He wants you to sow your best and then ask Him for His best. When I was a boy, we lived on a farm, and we had horses and cattle, and we had an old milk cow. And that was back in the days in the mid-1950s, before there was automation. And we milked the cow by hand. And I was little, but they would allow me to get on a little stool, and I'd sit under the cow, and I'd take hold of those udders, and I would pull, and I would bring that milk down into the pail underneath. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world, to get to milk that cow. And we'd put that milk in the barn refrigerator. And the next morning, my mother and I would come down to the barn and take that container of milk back to our home. And she would set it on the counter and set me up there by it. And she would say, look, son, the cream has risen to the top. And she would say, son, the cream is the best part. I can hear her saying it. And she said, son, whenever you give to God, give of the cream. Don't give of the milk. Give of the cream. Don't reach down in the bottom and sow. Reach off the top. In other words, she was teaching me, even at that young age, she was teaching me how to give God my best. Not to give my second best or my third best, and not to give something that did not mean anything to me. Because I'll tell you, my friend, when you give God something that means nothing to you, it won't mean anything to God either. And He'll reject it. So when you sow, sow your best. Be proud to say, God, this is my best. I'm sowing my best to You. And then, God, I'm asking You to honor Your word. I'm asking You to multiply it back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, just like it says in Luke 6:38. Now, that's a message on the miraculous, supernatural life. First, God is your source. He's your healer. Second, you have the power source, the Holy Spirit, inside you. And third, you can make your life a seed. Your love, your time, your money, your prayers, a smile, a pat on the back, a good word. That's all a seed. And when you sow it, make it your best. Ask God to use it for His glory, and then multiply it back to you in exactly the way that you need it. Now, Father, it's not by might, and it's not by power that I brought this message today, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And my dear friends there in London, in this conference, under the ministry of my dear friends, Pastor Andrew and Yemi, my friends, I pray over you today. And I remind you of the scripture in Psalm 107, verse 20, which says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So I can sit right here in my office here in Tulsa, and I can send the word across the Atlantic Ocean, and I can send it right into the church right now where you're hearing this message. And God can heal you right where you are. And so in the authority of the name of Jesus, I come against every sickness, every disease, every malady, anything that has come against your body. I rebuke it. I rebuke every virus. I rebuke every infection. I rebuke every stiffness, every swelling. I rebuke every pain in the authority of Jesus' name. I pray over your head. I rebuke migraines. I come against any cataract or blurred vision or glaucoma or problem with your eyes in the name of Jesus. And I say, eyes, see. I pray over your hearing. I pray over your eustachian tube, over your eardrums, for your ears to hear in Jesus' name. I pray over your throat, over your teeth, over your gums, over your lungs in Jesus' name. Breathe in Jesus' mighty name. Be healed today. I rebuke this problem with your heart, with your blood pressure, with your blood sugar in the name of Jesus. I send the word to your heart. Heart, beat normally. Every beat, be normal. No more skipping, no more arrhythmia. Be healed in your heart. Be healed in your blood pressure. Be healed from the hypertension. Be healed in your blood sugar. In the authority of Jesus' name. Every organ in your body, be healed. I come against arthritis, pain in the joints, pain in the bones, pain in the muscles, in your hands, in your arms, in your shoulders, in your neck, in your back, in your hips, in your knees, in your feet and legs. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I come against every cancer. Cancer, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Cancer in the brain, come out. Cancer in the bone, come out. Cancer in the breast, come out. Cancer in the skin, come out. I rebuke gout in the authority of Jesus' name. I come against any type of muscular problem or skeletal problem. Be healed. I pray for your blood. I pray that your blood will not be polluted, but the blood will flow unrestricted. May every artery, may every vein, may every capillary open up so that the blood may flow unrestricted from your head to your feet. I pray this in the authority of the name of Jesus. Now, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So let it be written, so let it be done. In Jesus' name. Pastor Andrew and Yemi, my dear friends, and this great congregation in this Worship and Warfare Conference, November 2022. God richly bless each one of you today. I pray that you would take this message, and I pray that you would listen to it over and over and over and over again. And I pray that it would get deep down inside of you and would literally become a part of your life, and that you'll never, ever be the same again. I sow this, Pastor. I sow this into your life and into your family and into your ministry. I sow it. And I believe that God will use this for His glory, and I believe He'll multiply it back to me in the way that I have need. I'm getting ready to build a new global ministry center here in Tulsa. I have a vision in my heart of touching and reaching out to 100,000 underdeveloped nations pastors every year. And if those pastors touch about 1,000 people during the year, that's 100 million people. That's my vision. I'm believing God to touch 1 billion souls for Christ in the next 10 years. I have so much in my heart. I'm not retiring. I'm refiring and thanking God for it. And I'm so glad to have had the opportunity of being a part of this conference. Pastor Andrew, I love you. Pastor Yemi, I love you. I love your family. I'm sorry I'm not there in person, but remember, there is no distance in prayer. God's right here where I am, and He's right there where you are. So God richly bless you, and I expect Him to do it. God bless, and bye-bye.